Good morning to each one of you this morning. I want to ask a question this morning right at the beginning. Is it good? Thank you. Is it good to be gathered together this morning in the house of the Lord? It is good. This morning is going to be a little bit different. Today is International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And we're going to be focusing on that this morning. We're going to spend some time in prayer. I'm going to share a couple of videos. I'm going to share some stories. And I'm asking this morning that you would consider your brothers and sisters that are suffering. Tuesday we have an election. Could make a big difference in our country. We need to be in prayer. I'm not here this morning to bring fear. I want you to know that. That's not my purpose for this morning. I spend a lot of time this week researching and praying. And God laid a heavy burden on my heart for the persecuted church. And I pray this morning that that burden comes to you as we look at this. I want to share a couple of verses out of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews 13, verse 1 through 3 says this, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." That's brotherly love continuing. Then in verse 3 he says, "Remember that them that are in bonds as bound with them." That's telling me that I'm supposed to put myself next to them, as bound with them. I know it's hard for us to sense that this morning. But try to think about the fact that they are in prison because they love the Lord. You're there also. "And them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." That's talking about sensing their pain, feeling their pain that they're feeling. Can you this morning put yourself in their place and in a sense feel that pain that they're going through? It's hard for us to imagine that because we aren't there. But it gives us a sense that we need to pray. We need to remember our brothers and sisters. I'd like to begin this morning by sharing a video with you.
Around the world, the body of Christ is under attack. A congregation forced out in Algeria. Bibles burned in southern India. A Christian's home destroyed in Vietnam. And in China, an unregistered church is demolished.
Just in the top 50 countries on the 2020 World Watch List, so many Christians are beaten, attacked, tormented, and killed for their faith in Jesus.
In fact, right now, more than 260 million Christians live in areas of high persecution. That's 1 in 8 Christians worldwide. Each year, the World Watch List tracks persecution against Christians around the world to help us understand what's happening in the global church and how we can pray and support our suffering families.
As I stand here in China, I can tell you that behind the numbers is a story that challenges and inspires my faith.
China is number 23 on this year's World Watch List, but that number doesn't tell the whole story. I wanted to find out the truth behind the ranking.
I've been all over China, and I can tell you that it's an incredible country with breathtaking beauty, an amazing culture, and a history second to none.
But the church here tells a different story.
Christians are increasingly being pushed underground in China. Pastors are being detained. Churches are being closed. And people who have a personal faith in Jesus are being watched using technology that was never available before. The church is being squeezed in China. But sometimes, when the church is squeezed, it grows.
And China is just one country on the 2020 World Watch List. Christians around the world are being pressured, targeted, and attacked. The Christians in the top 50 countries on this year's list may be suffering, but we can stand with them in prayer and support. We invite you to join us in 2020 as we stand with our sisters and brothers around the world.
Open Doors is serving in over 60 countries around the world, standing with the persecuted church. We'd love for you to join us. We are one church, one family.
I wanted to give credit to Open Doors and also Voice of the Martyrs for what I'm sharing this morning. I do have permission to share what I have here. Did you notice that he said that we are brothers and sisters? We're family. Those of us sitting here this morning that are believers, we are brothers and sisters to them. That's important for us to think about. I want to share with you Esther's story this morning. Esther was captured by Boko Haram as a teenager and held for 3 years. She was given a choice, marry or become a slave. Esther chose slavery, but it made no difference. She was eventually forced to marry a Boko Haram fighter. When the fighter was killed, she managed to escape. 7 months pregnant, she eventually managed to return to her village, but she was taunted and ostracized. They mocked me because I was pregnant, she said. Her own grandmother called her names. Heartbreakingly, when her baby was born, she refused to call her by name. Rebecca. I'm sorry, they refused to call her by name, Rebecca. They called the little girl Boko, as if somehow Esther and her little girl were to blame. Esther attended trauma counseling workshops run by Open Door Partners. And this is what she said. I want people to know that women here need trauma help because of the things that have happened. And those with resources can give support so that many more women can be helped. Before I came for the program, if my daughter was called Boko Haram baby, I fought with a lot of people and it hurt. But now, even if they call her that, I don't feel it. Because I know that's not who my baby is. And I want you to pay attention to what she says here at the end. She says, I know God loves me, and I cannot describe all the good things he has done for me. God loves me so much. I think I'm the one God loves the most in the world. All I can say is, may God bless you and thank you so much.
All over the world, Christians are separated from family and friends, isolated because of their relationship with Jesus. At 14, Lena had to make a heart-rending choice. Lose everything she knew, including her Muslim family, to follow Jesus in Nigeria.
I was very upset and surprised by my father's attitude because I knew he loved me. But he changed and now he wanted to kill me. I was angry and discouraged. I wanted to become a Christian, but I wasn't sure because it might cost me my life.
The emotional and physical suffering and isolation has only led to a greater determination by Lena to serve Jesus and to love those who have persecuted her. Czech national Peter Jacek, who serves persecuted Christians, was falsely imprisoned in Sudan. 3 Sudanese believers were also arrested. During the 14 months he was detained, Peter was held in 5 different prisons under horrible conditions and was beaten by other prisoners because he was a Christian. But Peter never lost his hope in Jesus.
When I was physically attacked, I was experiencing the deepest peace in my mind, and even though I do not even remember like the pain from those beatings and that moment when I was beaten with a wooden stick.
I'm going to do something this morning that's quite uncomfortable for me. And it may be uncomfortable for you. But I want us to realize this morning, maybe sense a little bit more about what it is to live in a country where you never know. Story is told of a man, a pastor. They came in and they closed his church. They burned it down. They took their pastor. You can go to the back, please. Gina didn't know where Dana went. She's on her own with the family now. Dana's probably somewhere in prison. Being beaten. Being mistreated. It's one story. Now the story is told of a young 14-year-old girl. She comes to me. The men came in and they took her. Let's go back to Dana. Gina has no idea where her 14-year-old girl went, but she probably knows. The Muslim extremists are looking for young ladies to marry. Erica's one of those. Gina and the rest of the family have no clue exactly where she's at. Friends, these are real. These are real stories. There was a young man that they wanted to fight in the military. He was married 10 days. Would you go to the back, Zach? Grace has no idea where he's at. But he's gone. And he's fighting. The young men that they take sometimes have no idea who they're fighting. But they're given rifles, assault weapons. And they're put on the front lines and they're told, go shoot. Whatever's in front of you, shoot. Grace has lost a husband. He may come back and he may not. She was married 10 days. Carl shared the gospel with somebody. And for that reason, they came in and they stormed his house. The family was at home. Lois, you now have your family to care for. Oh, but there's one more thing. When they came and took Carl, they pushed the family out of the house and they lit their house on fire. Lois, you now have your family. You're on the street. You may never see your husband. We don't know. But you have your family to care for. These are just a few of the stories that are being shared. Another story that they're sharing is of children. You're not a child, but I'm asking you to come. They're taking children as young as 8. They're taking them out of their homes. And they're taking them in and they're teaching them to fight from a young age. We're sitting here this morning. We're serving God together. And I have to ask myself, am I truly, really serving God? Am I here this morning because it's the right thing for me to do? Those papers that I asked you to hand out. Would you do that, please? There are so many stories, and I didn't know what all to share this morning. And these aren't near the worst. I'm not trying to send fear into your hearts this morning, but I want you to realize this is real. Let me tell you about a story that just happened. A young girl, it does not give her age. Her name is Maria. Maria was on her way home from the factory at work. A car pulled up, and three young men get out with guns. They abduct her, forced her into their car. And they took her. Mom and Dad had no idea what to do. They had no clue where she went to. 3 days later, they found out that she was going to be in court. So they went. Maria walked up in front of the judge. And these are the words that she told the judge. She said, "I convert to Islam." She came from a Christian family. As soon as she said that, the men whisked her out and she was gone. Maria was married to one of these men. This story came out October 27th, last week. Just before the story was printed, news came that Maria escaped. She's back home with her family. Her family has been threatened. They have left. They moved to a totally different area. Nobody, or the law and the men that took her have no clue where she's at. They're in hiding. They're being taken care of by other Christians. Friends, that's today. That's happening today. While we sit here smiling, we're going to go home to good lunches. Not against that. But I have to keep asking myself over and over, am I here for the right purpose? Am I here because this is what we do in America? Am I here because I want the blessings of the church because I'm going to do what the church asks me to do? Or is there something within me that has such a desire to walk with Christ that I'm willing to stand with my brothers and sisters that are suffering? Those of you that are in the back, you can come back and sit down. Thank you. We have a lot of papers left. What we have here is a prayer for the persecuted church paper. We're going to spend just a bit of time in prayer, then we'll have another video. If you would like a piece of paper that you didn't get one, raise your hand. This is for youth. It's for younger ones. If you want to pray, please take the papers. There's plenty of them here. I'd like for you to take these papers home with you. And I'd like for you to use these papers this week in remembrance of praying for our brothers and sisters. I'm going to read what we have on the list here. First one I have listed is pray for their freedom. We're talking about the persecuted. Pray for their freedom. Paul says in Romans 15:31, he says, pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. The second one we want to pray for is pray for their faithfulness. For I know in Philippians 1, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Whether I live or whether I die, I want to remain faithful. Number three, pray for their witness. Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray for their families. Ephesians 3:16. New Living says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then I want us to pray for us here at Calvary Chapel. Here's what I'd like for us to pray for this morning. That we would have hearts that are revived. Hearts that come alive for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ. That we would love God. That we would love others. And that we would remain faithful in the good and bad times. Then I have number 6. Pray for the elections on Tuesday. Something so important for us to be thinking about. Daniel 2:21 says, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. God is still in control. But brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We need to pray. We're going to spend just a little bit of time here this morning. I'm actually going to ask you to kneel. Maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And then I'll close this part of the service with prayer. But pray out of your heart. Pray because you mean it. Ask God for forgiveness if there's something that needs to be taken care of. Let's kneel. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Father, we're sitting here this morning, soft seats. We have no fear of the government coming and taking any of us. But Lord, there's brothers and sisters that are suffering in a horrible way today. Lord, our prayer is for their freedom. Our prayer this morning, Lord, is for their faithfulness. Lord, be with each one individually. I pray, Lord, for their witness as they stand faithful for You. Lord, as they show love to those that persecute them, give them strength, Lord. for your name would be made great through all of this. And Lord, we pray for their families. Families that are suffering because dad, mom, a son or daughter has been removed from the home. And they don't know. They don't know where they're at. All they have to do is wonder and imagine and bring it to you. Lord, be there for their families. Give them strength and grace and comfort. And Father, I pray for us right here at Calvary Chapel. Lord, we get so cold. We get used to everything and we forget that life is really about serving you. Life is not about me, but it's about you, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would put a burning desire in each one of us. Lord, to be faithful to you. Father, to love you and to love those that we come in contact with. I pray, Lord, for a faithfulness in whatever we face every day. We can come to you, Father. We can give you our burdens, our needs, and you're there for us. Oh, we bless you, Father. And Lord, we pray for our elections on Tuesday. You know the needs of our country. And Lord, we don't know for sure what plan that you have. But we ask, Lord, that your will would be done. We know it's going to be. And in that we have confidence, we have faith. Because you are God Almighty. May we humbly come to you and seek your face. You are so good. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have one more video I'd like for you to show to you this morning.
My name is Jeanette. I am a Christian and I love Jesus with all my heart. I love my children and I love the people of my country, the Central African Republic. There are both Christians and Muslims in my country, and we lived as neighbors as I worked to reach them for Christ. But my hope for a peaceful life didn't last. Our village was ambushed by the Islamist attackers. Guns started firing and we started running as fast as we could into the bush. All the Christians in my village were killed or driven into hiding. I fled with my children. We didn't even have time to put on our shoes or clothes.
Attacks like these have been targeting Christians in the Central African Republic for 8 years and continue today. Churches and missionary stations that have been built over decades have been destroyed along with Christians' homes that have been burnt to the ground. In one area, the only structures that remained were the metal roofs of two churches. Thousands of Christians have spent years in makeshift temporary shelters far from their homes as the violence and instability continues. Delivering desperately needed help to displaced Christians often means overcoming impassable roads, using cargo planes, trucks, motorcycles, bicycles, and even canoes. With God's help, supplies are making it to Christians scattered throughout various camps. Today, Jeanette and more than 30,000 Christians in the Central African Republic have been driven from their homes, all because of their faithfulness in maintaining a witness for Christ in majority Muslim areas in the face of severe Islamist violence. These courageous believers, our Christian brothers and sisters in the Central African Republic, have shown God's love and forgiveness to their persecutors. They continue to faithfully follow the Lord and trust Him to meet their needs.
As we go home today, moms, dads, hug your children a little closer. Husbands and wives, love each other. Did you notice something that one of the gentlemen said? That one gentleman said in one of those videos, when the church gets squeezed, what happens?
It grows.
We're not desiring that we get squeezed here. But can we turn our hearts to the Father now? I know there's many of you that are. Can all of us examine our hearts, our lives, and walk close with the Father? And remember to pray for our brothers and sisters who are experiencing so much. We have the idea that America has the biggest amount of Christians. We have a very small amount compared to a lot of countries. We need to walk with Christ. While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes there is a God who hasn't surrendered His authority. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. That's the positive side of this. I was so excited the other night. We were at the Gospel Express banquet. And Brother Dave was sharing about how much good is happening because of COVID. Ask Sheldon if you want more on that. There's so much good happening because of COVID coming in the prison systems. But when we look at our brothers and sisters who are suffering because of persecution, COVID has doubled probably what they're facing. They're out on the streets. Dads that had daytime jobs, those came to an end. How do I supply for my family? We're going to work tomorrow, Lord willing, so we can make more money so we can supply for our family and buy our places or buy things. I want to share a little story with you. I know I need to close. In Venezuela, and I don't know what year this was, but a dad came home. He had just received his paycheck. And his paycheck was enough, he thought, as he went to bed, to pay for the rent and to buy enough groceries to get him through the month. He was so tired that night, he said, I'm not going to go cash my check tonight. I'm just going to bed. And he lay in bed. He was wore out and he was going through all this, making sure I delegate all the finances to make that my family is cared for. Overnight, inflation skyrocketed. The next morning, he got up. And checked to see what he could still buy for his family. He was able to buy 4 eggs. That's it. Friends, you and I have it so good. Maybe we need to think about the fact that all the money that we have would be better given away, shared with those that really, really need it. I'm sorry, I am all weepy this morning. But there's a great need. And we have the opportunity to help meet those needs. I've asked Dana to come close in prayer, and then Aaron's going to lead us in a song. Dana.
the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee an stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer to them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you give us wisdom. I ask that you give us discernment, but most of all that you give us, or maybe that we would choose to have obedient hearts here this morning. Lord, I pray for those that are being persecuted. I pray for those that have lost loved ones, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, children, brothers and sisters in the church. Whatever it might be, Lord, I just pray. I pray that you would be the answer to their heart's cry. I pray, Lord, that you would somehow, Lord, we hear so often the testimonies of how in the most severe of persecution and trials, you become so sweet and so precious. I pray, Lord, that you would be with these, Lord. I want to go through this list. I want to pray for their freedom, first of all, Lord. I just pray that you would work in the hearts, the minds, and the lives of these leaders, the people that are causing the oppression, that are causing the heartache and the turmoil and the pain. Lord, I pray that your love and your redemption and your grace would break through to them, that they could see. And we hear these stories too, Lord, of the persecutor becoming the persecuted. And we pray, Lord, in each one of these situations across the globe, that you would be, your name would be made great, and that you would bring freedom to our family that is suffering. I pray, Lord, for their faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that they would be able to endure and cling to you. Lord, just enable them, help them to be faithful. I pray, Lord, for their witness. Again, we hear so many times how your love is shed abroad in their hearts for their captors and those that persecute and those that mistreat them. And I just pray, Lord, that you continue to do that, that you would give them the strength to endure, to not fall away from truth, to cling to you and to your truth, and also to have your love for those that they're dealing with. I pray for them. I pray for the families that are separated and and struggling, Lord. It's just we try to understand, we try to grasp, but we can't. I pray, Lord, that you be family to them. Help them, Lord. I pray for us here at Calvary Chapel. Lord, it's so easy to just get used to normal, to think that what we have here is normal. Help us, Lord, to have hearts and minds for your kingdom across the world, across the globe. Lord, what can I do with my resources to bless your kingdom, to bless you, to do it unto you? What am I not doing to you that I should be? Lord, I just pray that you awaken us, that you speak to us, that you help us to see truth clearly concerning these issues. And Lord, I pray for the elections on Tuesday. Lord, I suppose everyone in this room has an opinion on who should win, knows what we think is best. Lord, we want to commit this to you. Maybe our church needs to be squeezed. Maybe we need trials and heartaches and tribulation in order to really appreciate you. Lord, I pray that you do what's best for you and for your kingdom, for your glory. I pray that whatever happens, your name would be made great. People would be turned to you. We would find our only trust, our only hope, our only confidence in you and in your enduring and continuing kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.